माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारे यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय प्रभुपद 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 जय प्रभुपद
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रिशील प्रभुपाद की हे ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna. Today is the auspicious day of Gita Jayanti, the day on which the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, his dear devotee and friend, when Arjuna was bewildered and confused on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just before the war. So, in the next couple of hours, we will summarize the entire Bhagavad Gita, all the 18 chapters of the Gita. We have 18 chapters in the Gita, and on an average we may get 5-6 minutes to hear a quick summary of each chapter. So we will see how much we can go through this quick, fast-paced overview. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, a great commentator on Bhagavad Gita, he compares Bhagavad Gita to be a beautiful jewel box. And the upper lid of the jewel box is compared with the last section of Bhagavad Gita, the last 6 chapters, which constitutes Jnana Yoga. The lower lid, the bottom of this box, is compared to the first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, which constitute the Karma Yoga. And the real jewel within the box is the middle 6 chapters, chapter number 7 to 12. They present the Bhakti Yoga. So, Bhagavad Gita is considered to be a very beautiful, gem-studded jewel box. And the most precious jewel is the Bhakti Yoga, or the process of unalloyed devotional service rendered by a devotee to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and that is the ultimate message of the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters, and first 6 chapters present this Karma Yoga, middle 6 chapters Bhakti Yoga, and later 6 chapters Jnana Yoga. And this Bhagavad Gita covers 5 topics: Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. Jiva is the living entity, who am I. And Ishvara is the Supreme Lord, God, who is the source of everything. Prakriti is this material nature, this world. Kala is time factor. Karma is how to perform our activities. So these are the 5 major topics that are very elaborately and systematically presented in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. Now the context in which Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna was the context of a war. But the context is war, but the content is life. Right? So now all these deep philosophical topics of Bhagavad Gita are presented just before a war. Okay, just before a war, a lot of discussions about how to kill the enemies, how to counteract their weapons. So this kind of discussion generally happens. But here a great philosophical discussion is happening. So Bhagavad Gita is not a scripture or a teaching given by Krishna just to inspire Arjuna to fight in Kurukshetra war. It is a great scripture that is relevant for the entire humanity in all circumstances of life. Okay? So because the content is life, not war. And these are the 5 universally relevant topics. Without any consideration of nationality or gender or situation. Everybody has to deal with these 5. So the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are universal, not restricted to one sect only, or definitely not restricted to only Arjuna. Actually, the discussion about war within Bhagavad Gita is hardly 10-15 shlokas. The word Yuddha comes very rarely in the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna is speaking about Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala, Karma very frequently in various chapters. Now we'll begin the overview of the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita with that little introduction. So, one more thing. I was speaking about this Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. So, Prabhupada gives a very lucid understanding of what is Yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme, connecting our consciousness to the Supreme Lord. Okay? When we connect our consciousness to God through karma, through our activities, it is called Karma Yoga. And we try to connect with the Supreme through our knowledge, it is Jnana Yoga. When we try to connect with the Supreme through meditation, it is Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. And when we try to connect our consciousness to the Supreme Lord through devotion, through love, through service, it is called Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita, and it is the ultimate culmination of all the other yogas. So linking with the Supreme Lord through love and affection is greater than connecting to Him through some karma or jnana or ashtanga. So now the first six chapters present this Karma Yoga repeatedly. So let's begin with the first chapter. So in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we see that Dhritarashtra, the father of Duryodhan and his other 99 brothers, so he asks a question to Sanjaya. So Sanjaya somehow had a divine ability to be able to envision what happens on the battlefield while sitting in the palace. So this ability was bestowed upon him by Vyasadeva. So Sanjaya was narrating what's happening on the battlefield to Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjaya. So you can repeat the shloka if you want. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yutsavah mamakaha pandavas chaiva kima kurvata Sanjayam. So dharma kshetre kuru kshetre, in this holy land of Kurukshetra, dharma kshetra means a place which is very holy. Samaveta yutsavaha mamakaha pandavaha, my sons, means 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and Pandavas, 5 sons of Pandu. So they all have assembled along with many other armies. With what intention? Yuyutsavaha, with a great desire to fight with each other. Okay. So in this shloka only he separated Pandu sons from his sons. These 100 are my sons and those 5 are Pandu sons. Okay. Because Pandu is not there, he is supposed to treat these 5 Pandavas also as his own sons, but he separated. That is his separatist mentality or selfishness. Right? Kim akurvata Sanjaya, what have they done? So Sanjaya is responding to this. So I will not be giving so many insights, or I will not go deep into the purports. So I'll just give the flow, because we have to cover all 18 chapters. In each chapter I may recite few shlokas and tell the overall flow, and then recite few shlokas and meditate on the meaning of that shlokas. That's the format. So now Sanjaya started narrating what's happening on the battlefield. So on the battlefield, just before the war began, Duryodhan went to his teacher Dronacharya and started speaking about his own military strength and the military strength of Pandavas. And while Duryodhan was describing, his fear is quite apparent and his diplomatic tendencies are also quite apparent. So he's trying to encourage Duryodhan, our Dronacharya, and he's trying to encourage Bhishma, and he's also trying to encourage Karna, Vikarna on his part, and he is having little insecurity and some fears within, seeing the so many akshohinis of armies that Pandavas have managed to gather together. But still he's saying, okay, I'm confident. I have Bhishma with me. They have only Bhima. So Bhima is not a very experienced warrior, but Bhishma is very experienced. So I have Bhishma with me, I have Drona with me. So like that he is kind of describing armies and comparing the armies and kind of expressing his fear and diplomacy also. Then the war was about to begin, and the chief warriors on both sides started blowing their conch shells. So when the conch shell is being blown, that marks the beginning of the war. So Ananta Vijayo Raja, Kunti Putro Yudhishthiraha. So there are names for those conch shells also. Look, Pandavas, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva, Arjuna, Krishna. So they are all blowing conch shells. Bhishma also blew conch shell before. So there were some names for these conch shells, and the names are mentioned. And you begin aarti of the deities with blowing conch shell. So here also they are blowing conch shell. So this blowing of conch shells is considered a sign of victory to the Pandavas. And there are many other details given, just like on the flag of our Arjuna, Hanumanji was sitting. So Krishna, who is non-different from Ram, was sitting. So Ram was there, Hanumanji was there. And wherever Ram is there, the goddess of fortune also will be there. Right? That way, all positive signs are there on Arjuna's side for him to become victorious. So Arjuna requests Krishna, Krishna, can you please take me in the midst of the two armies so that I will be able to see all those people who have assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, right? I should be able to see them. So now he blew the war, he blew the conch shell, and Bhagavad Gita says that he even picked up the bow and picked up the arrows and about to shoot arrows also. Then he said, I want to see who all have assembled. He knows, but still he said, I want to see. So, being Bhakta Vatsala, Krishna took the role of a chariot driver of Arjuna. So, Arjuna is ordering Krishna, take me in the midst of the armies. So, Krishna took Arjuna's chariot in the midst of armies. And Arjuna observed all these armies. He saw so many relatives, fathers, grandfathers, sons, grandsons, friends, brothers, cousins. He has seen so many people and he was overwhelmed with compassion and confusion. So he, it was his right to fight for the kingdom, he was not sure whether it is right to fight. So he presented several reasons why he should not fight. So four reasons he presented in this chapter. First, it's not a reason as such, but he was feeling very much compassionate towards all the relatives. That compassion is being expressed in his body. All the bodily symptoms are showing how compassionate he was. And secondly, he also said that I don't see any enjoyment even if I win this war and get the kingdom. Because there is enjoyment when you have like friends and relatives around you. You can enjoy the kingdom, prosperous kingdom along with them. If they are not there, they all die in the battlefield. How will I enjoy? So he forces no enjoyment even if he becomes victorious. Third, he becomes fearful of sinful reactions. On this battlefield, so many people are going to die. So I will be incurring all their sins, right? So many soldiers are there, their mothers, their sisters, their brothers, their wives, all of them will not be able to survive without their protectors. So I will incur all those sinful reactions. And fourthly, he says that when elders in family die, the family traditions will be lost. The younger members of a family cannot continue to perform those Vedic rituals or the family customs or social traditions without proper guidance and inspiration given by the elders in the family. This family tradition will be destroyed. And then he analyzes it a lot. So these are the harmful effects of war. If I participate in the war, so my dear Krishna, I won't be able to fight. So Gandiva slipped from his hand, right? So he felt morose. And hearing this from Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra became hopeful. Oh, Arjuna is not going to fight. So means there will be victory for my own sons. So Sanjaya smashes all the hopes of Dhritarashtra, saying that Krishna is there next to Arjuna. Although Arjuna apparently is confused, Krishna is going to inspire him to do his duty of fighting. So we enter the second chapter, where Krishna sees this lamentation, tears, and so-called compassion of Arjuna, and chastises Arjuna. Klaibhyam masmagamaha partha naitatvai upapadyati. So where did you get this petty weakness of heart in this moment of crisis? It doesn't befit you. It doesn't take you to higher planets or higher destinations. You are a great Kshatriya. You are not supposed to be exhibiting that impotency. So now again, Arjuna expresses his confusion. indecision, saying that I am not sure whether I will be able to fight with Bhishma, Drona, they are my worshipable superiors. So then finally Arjuna decides, I am unable to make a decision on my own now. Let me accept my friend Krishna as my guru and then I'll follow his guidance. He says, Karpanya doshopahata svabhavaham prichhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetaha yat shreyasya nishitam rohitanme sishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Karpanya doshopahata svabhavaha. Because of miserly weakness, I am unable to make a decision, O Krishna. Prichhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetaha. I am asking you, in this situation where I am dharma sammoodha chetaha, I am unable to ascertain what is my dharma. Is it right to fight or not? I am unable to figure out what am I supposed to do. That's why I am asking you in this context. Yet shreyasya nishitam bruhitanme. Please, certainly you should decide what is good for me. Okay. Sishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. Please accept me as your disciple. I am your sishya. You are my guru. I am prapanna. I am surrendered unto you. Please guide me. So Krishna smiles, seeing that my friend has become my disciple. And he smiles and he begins his teachings from the 11th shloka onwards. So in 20 shlokas, Krishna first dispels Arjuna's so-called compassion for material body. So Arjuna, you are exhibiting compassion. Whom are you compassionate upon? Their bodies. So if they die, what will happen? Their bodies will die. They will not die. Okay. So please understand. Essentially, Krishna gives this one line teaching in this 20 shlokas. Material body is perishable. It is not going to survive forever. And spirit soul can never be destroyed. So soul is ever alive. Body is never alive. Okay. You don't have to worry about this material body, which is anyways going to get perished. Okay. Which will be destroyed. Okay. And he gives so many teachings and maybe some will recite. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavvanam jaram tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatrana muhyati. So dehi, a person who entered a material body, has to pass through childhood and youthhood and middle age, old age and death. So its bodily changes are inevitable. Just like the soul within one body passes through all the stages of the body, at one point the soul has to quit the body also. Right? So death is inevitable for a person who entered a material body. One cannot stay within one material body for the rest of eternity. So understand, death is inevitable. Why are you lamenting? So material body will be destroyed and spirit soul will never be destroyed. So why are you lamenting? So you should tolerate. Now Arjuna may give different arguments. I am attached to their bodies. I am attached to their forms. So a lot of conversation happens. But Krishna says, Matras parshyastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukha daha agama apayino anityaha tam stitikshasva bharata. Happiness and distress keeps coming and going. Agama apayino anitya, it is temporary. So you should be able to tolerate them. Just like heat and cold comes and goes, similarly happiness and distress also comes in life and it goes. It's not temporary. All these temporary dualities do not have eternal effect, permanent effect. So don't lament. There is no need for you to lament. So like that, Krishna describes the science of soul. He analyzes matter and spirit. So this analysis is called Sankhya. Sankhya is analysis. Jnana is knowledge. So Jnana is the knowledge that you develop by analyzing matter and spirit. Thus Sankhya and Jnana are sometimes used interchangeably. So next Krishna says about Sakama Karma. Performing duty, prescribed duty gives us enjoyment. So Arjuna, if you fight and win the war, you will enjoy a prosperous kingdom. And if you fight dutifully and lose the war, what will happen? You will attain heavenly kingdom. So if you
perform your prescribed duty of fighting in the war, whether you lose or win, you are in a good situation, right? Either you will get earthly kingdom or heavenly kingdom. So better you perform activity. So Krishna says, you work for enjoyment, either earthly enjoyment or heavenly enjoyment. This is called sakama karma. Performing prescribed duty gives enjoyment. So this is called sakama karma, which is not ultimate teaching of Krishna. Okay. Next, Krishna speaks about nishkama karma. Earlier he said, you perform your work with the desire to enjoy. Later he says, without any attachment to the results of the work, you should just work only. That is nishkama karma yoga. Okay, which Krishna begins with as buddhi yoga. So, in this Krishna, in this section, Krishna speaks several beautiful verses. Neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayona vidyati. So many slokas. So let's recite one. Vyavasayatmika buddhir eke hakuru nandanam bahushakhahyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. So people who are resolute in determination, one-pointed in their determination, in their goals, vyavasayatmika buddhir eke hakuru nandanaha, they will focus on that goal only. But bahushakhahyanantascha, other people will have intelligence going in all kinds of directions, right? They are called avyavasayinam. So in this nishkama karma yoga, or in any yoga practice, in any work, you should be one-pointed in your determination. And what Krishna is basically prescribing at this stage is, perform your prescribed duty with a detachment from results. Earlier he said, perform your prescribed duty desiring enjoyment. But higher than that is, it is your duty as a kshatriya to fight. Please fight. Don't be attached to results. Whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. What will you get after winning or losing? It doesn't matter. Just fight. So earlier he is trying to convince Arjuna based on jnana teachings. Okay, body is temporary, soul is eternal. Please fight. Later he said, you will enjoy whether you win or lose. Please fight. And don't be attached to results at all. Please fight. So in all ways, whether he is presenting jnana or sakama karma or nishkama karma, he is only encouraging Arjuna to fight. And later, Krishna gives the teachings about the behavior of a person, qualities of a person who has steady intelligence. That is called sthita prajna. Okay? So he is a liberated soul. A person who is able to work without any attachment to results, having proper equanimity and tolerance, who has intelligence which is very steady and is not diverted. So such a person is called sthita prajna. So Krishna describes a lot of sthita prajna's qualities. Vishaya vanivartante niraharasya dehinaha. So the mind keeps going towards different sense objects. Because mind is a storehouse of so many material impressions that are gathered through senses. So my eyes are interacting with a beautiful object, a positive or a negative impression is created in the mind. Ears are hearing some beautiful sound or horrible sound, then an impression is created. So like that, mind is storing so many things. So we need to control that mind and focus on our goal, focus on yoga, right? So that that mind can be controlled by steadying the intelligence. So all that Krishna describes in the second chapter. And now we will enter the third chapter. Now, Arjuna had a question in the beginning of the third chapter. Arjuna says, Krishna, you spoke about action, responsibly performing activities. And you also spoke about being detached from results. Okay, you spoke about renunciation also. You spoke about action also. You spoke about performing prescribed duties also. You also spoke about being detached. Okay, what exactly is your recommendation? Should I be detached from fighting this war, or should I do my prescribed duty? So basically Krishna said, do both. Do your duty with a spirit of detachment. Don't be renounced from the work. Maintain a spirit of renunciation while working. That's the teaching of Krishna. But Arjuna is seeking a clarification. Action or renunciation? Please tell me clearly. There's a lot of discussion here, but let's compact. So now Krishna again elaborates on Nishkama Karma Yoga. Basically in the second chapter, Krishna summarizes everything very quickly, and we are giving a summary of that summary. So we are very quick. So now Krishna elaborates that Karma Yoga little more in the third chapter. He says, Nishkama Karma Yoga you should do. And that is better for you than performing Jnana Yoga. So basically, Karma Yoga means trying to connect with the Supreme by doing your prescribed duties. Right? And the word Nishkama indicates that such a person should be detached from the results of one's work. Okay, that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. Performing your prescribed duties with detachment is Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay? But by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, you will develop knowledge. And you will develop vairagya or detachment. And when your detachment is very mature, now initial stages when you are beginning Karma Yoga, you are not detached. You are not sufficiently having the spirit of renunciation. Right? So, you need to purify yourself by performing the prescribed duty. By performing the prescribed duty, by trying to cultivate detachment, once you become purified, then you need not perform the prescribed duty itself. You have developed such, realized such mature knowledge. So, then one comes to the stage of Jnana Yoga. So, in Jnana Yoga, one can give up prescribed duties and one can adopt to sannyasa or renunciation. Okay? So, now Arjuna, even if Arjuna has a spirit of renunciation, he has a lot of detachment from within, he has no spirit of enjoying the results of his work, still he should perform his work. Why? To set example for common people. All that Krishna will summarize little later. But at this stage, a person who is not yet purified of his material desires, he cannot give up his work. He cannot give up his prescribed work. He is supposed to perform his prescribed duties according to the scriptures. So, in that sense, Karma Yoga is better for Arjuna than Jnana Yoga. Okay? And what is the spirit of doing that Karma Yoga? Doing everything as an offering to the Supreme. Yajnarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaham tadartham karma kaunteyam mukta sangaha samacharam. Yajnarthat karmanonyatra. You should perform all your activities, prescribed duties, as an offering to the Supreme, for the pleasure of the Supreme. Right? Then there will be no karma bandhana. Now Arjuna's concern is, if I do karma, there will be karma bandhana. If I don't do karma, there will be no karma bandhana. But Krishna is teaching Arjuna, perform karma without bandhana. How is it possible? When you perform that karma as an offering to the Supreme, yajnarthat, then there is no karma bandhana. Ignarthat karmano netra lokoyam karma bandhana. If you don't do your activities as an offering to the Supreme, there will be bandhana. Right? So, now later Krishna speaks the cycle of sacrifice, how the Lord has created all the beings and prajapatis and demigods, and he has given a principle of sacrifice to the humanity, and by performing that sacrifice according to the scriptures, people will get rains, through rains they get grains, and the grains are meant for the sustenance, and ultimately the grains are supposed to be offered to the Lord and taken as prasadam. And by offering what you received from the Supreme to the Supreme, you will be connected to the Supreme. Okay? So Krishna speaks about this cycle of sacrifice. And now, the point that I was trying to mention some time back. So when somebody is not purified of material desires, Karma Yoga is prescribed. Means he has propensity to do certain material work. He has some tendencies, maybe Brahmanical tendencies or whatever tendencies. He has certain tendencies to perform certain work and he has material desires also. So, till then one is supposed to work. And once one is purified of all material desires, one develops complete detachment, then one can give up prescribed work also. Right? But a person who is on the level of, who is ready for renunciation, who has attained that Jnana stage, Jnana Yoga stage, he can also perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, perform his prescribed duties, to set an example for common people. Right? Even if you are qualified for Jnana Yoga and renounce your work, still you perform work. Just like a teacher already knows ABCD. But when the teacher is teaching the child, teacher will write ABCD. Maybe teacher may hold the hand of the kid and then write ABCD. Not that she doesn't know ABCD, but she is trying to teach common people. Similarly, when someone is purified of material desires, he need not perform the prescribed duties. He is ready for sannyasa. He can give up prescribed duties. But still one does prescribed duties to set example for common people. Because common people need purification. They still have material desires. They still have a lot of inclination to perform material work. So, yadyadacharati sreshtah tatta deveta rojanah sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Yadyad acharati sreshtah tatta deveta rojanah. Whatever a great person does, common people tend to follow that. So, and he will set the right example for common people to follow. So, you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga to set the right example. So, this is what Krishna teaches Arjuna. Next, in this context where Krishna is presenting Karma Yoga, Krishna gives little glimpse of bhakti also. In the initial 6 chapters, bhakti comes as small spikes here and there. So that is the 30th shloka. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasam nirashir nirmamo bhutvam yuddhasva vigata jvaraham. So mayi sarvani karmani, earlier he was speaking, perform your prescribed duties with detachment. Now he added one more phrase, as an offering to me. Detachment is there, and attachment to the Supreme is also there. Then it is bhakti. You couple that detachment from results with attachment to the Lord, okay, it becomes bhakti. That's why Prabhupada often says karma yoga is Krishna consciousness only. Working with devotion only. So one way is karma yoga is working with detachment. Bhakti yoga is working with devotion. And when devotion and detachment both are there is no difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada repeats this conclusive understanding from beginning only, practically in every page of Bhagavad Gita. So that is mayi sarvani karmani, perform all your karmas as an offering to me. Sanyasya adhyatma chetaha, sanyasya, be detached. Jnana is also there. The principle of renouncing results based on knowledge is also there. So bhakti yoga includes karma, jnana, everything. And meditation of the Lord also, dhyana also. Okay. So yuddhasva vigata jvaraha, please perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your enemies, vigata jvaraha, without any lethargy, Krishna says. And while performing this yoga, an important obstacle that one could encounter is lust, which is the greatest enemy, that Krishna says. Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samudbhavaham mahashano mahapapma vidhena miha vairinam. So, kama means lust. Lust need not be the regular lust that we understand. Lust can be, kama could be any intense material desire. Okay? So, kama yesha krodha yesha. When that kama is not fulfilled, it will become krodha. Unfulfilled lust will lead to anger. Rajoguna samudbhavaha, it's born out of this rajoguna, passion. So, vidhiyena iha vairinam. That lust, that intense material desire, hankering, is the vairi, the greatest enemy of people in this world. One has to curb that lust. So now lust is situated in 3 places. Senses, mind, and intelligence. So first we have to restrict the senses. Because mind becomes a storehouse of material impressions. And where are those material impressions coming from? Through the senses. Senses are gathering the material impressions and the mind is storing them. And intelligence is functioning in a way that those desires are fulfilled. Right? So one has to first restrict the senses. So mind control begins with sense control. So Krishna says, that is 3rd chapter. In the 4th chapter, Krishna speaks knowledge, transcendental knowledge, jnana. He says that I have given these teachings to the sun god, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu. So this transcendental knowledge is coming from me. Originally I spoke to sun god, and then vivasvan manave prahaha, he spoke to Manu, Manu rikshvako abravit. Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. Like that, in this lineage of Rajarshis or saintly kings, this transcendental knowledge is transparently transmitted. But at one point, the transparency is lost. So, then, yogo nashtaha parantapa. The knowledge is lost. When knowledge is lost, Krishna again descends to give that knowledge. So, the divine nature of Krishna's appearance is described here. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srujamyaham. So whenever there is a decline in religion and whenever there is an increase in adharma, Krishna will descend to change the, reverse the situation. Okay. Then, what are the three specific reasons why Krishna appears in this world? Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha duskritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, sambhavam yuge yuge. Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect the righteous people, vinashaya cha duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish religion. I come in every yuga, and my appearances and activities are divine. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. So whoever understands the divinity of my appearances and activities need not take birth in this material world again. Right? He can go back to the spiritual world. So in this way Krishna describes the divine nature of his own appearance and activities. So he gives knowledge about his own self. Next, Krishna is the creator of all paths and Krishna is the culmination of all paths also. Krishna says, Yayathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajam yaham mamavartmanu vartante manushyaha partha sarvasaham. The way we approach Krishna, in a similar manner, Krishna will reciprocate with us. Tamstathaiva bhajami aham. The way we do bhajami of Krishna, he will also do bhajami of us. So now Govinda Madhi Purusham tam aham bhajami we say. And Krishna is also saying, bhajami aham. I will also do bhajan of you, right? I will reciprocate accordingly. Okay? This is reciprocation. Not that he will worship us, he will reciprocate with our worship. Okay? So, and Krishna created four varnas. Okay? Chaturvarnya maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. Okay? And these varnas are not designated according to the birth of people. They are according to the guna and karma. Guna is their qualities, karma is their activities. And guna can also mean the particular mode of material nature, sattva, rajas, tamo gunas, which is influencing them. Okay? Brahmanas are high in goodness. Little bit of passion is also there. And kshatriyas are high in passion and some goodness is also there. And vaishyas are high in passion and some ignorance is there. And shudras are high in ignorance and little passion is there. So like that, different categories of people are influenced by different modes, prominently. So accordingly, these varnas are decided, not according to their birth. Next. Now Krishna speaks about karma, akarma and vikarma. Karma is action. Akarma is inaction. Vikarma is forbidden action. Okay. Now, the word karma is understood in different ways, in different contexts. Basically, karma is action, some work. And sometimes, karma could mean reaction to an action. And sometimes, karma could mean a prescribed action according to the scriptures. And sometimes, karma could mean a fruitive action, an action which is specifically done to get an intended result. And sometimes karma could mean the whole chain of actions and reactions. Five meanings, right? Depending on the context, we need to understand. So now karma is action and akarma is inaction. Now Krishna basically speaks, a person who is doing karma, we may think that a person who is doing karma could get some reaction to that karma. Sometimes a person is doing an action, he gets a reaction. Fine. But if the person is doing this karma With a detached spirit, there is no reaction. And that is as good as akarma. Arjuna was thinking that, if I do karma, I get reaction. If I don't do karma, I will not get reaction. Okay? Krishna says, you can do karma without reaction. That is called akarma. It's as good as not doing only. That is called inaction in action. Okay? You are doing it, but you are not attached to the results. And you don't have an attachment to perform that activity only. Okay? You have no material desire. Then it's as good as inaction. So perform your duty of fighting without expecting any results. Then it's as good as not fighting only. Your karma becomes akarma. So Krishna elaborates on this. And do everything as an offering to the Supreme. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagno, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahmakarma Samadhina. So Brahma basically means spiritual. So when you have this spiritual consciousness, the activity that you are doing is spiritual, the instruments that you are using to perform that activity are also spiritual, and the result that you are going to attain is also spiritual, and the destination that you are going to reach, that is also spiritual. That's what Krishna says in this shloka, by taking the example of sacrifice. In a sacrifice, the sacrificer is spiritual. The instruments that are used are spiritual. And the fire is spiritual. The oblations are spiritual. The result is spiritual. If one has spiritual consciousness. Okay. Otherwise, material activity. So that is inaction in action. And how to attain this jnana? By performing all these sacrifices and prescribed duties. Because the result of nishkama karma is jnana. We discussed. Right? If you perform activities with detachment, without any attachment to the results, you will attain knowledge. So, one way of attaining knowledge, the most effective way of attaining knowledge is, one is to prescribe duties, but surrendering to a guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevayam upadekshyanti te jnanam jnani nastatva darshinaham. So, you need to go and surrender unto a guru who can give you upadesha or instruction on jnanam, on transcendental knowledge. For that you need submissiveness. You need to ask relevant questions and you need to do service also. So not only relevant questions, submissiveness and service are needed. Only by relevant questions, only by asking questions you gather information. But you need transformation. For that you need submission and service. So submission and service are very much needed to attain knowledge. So our knowledge is not just that we acquire from scriptural study or hearing. So by rendering services to the Lord and Vaishnavas and Guru, we will be able to assimilate that knowledge. The theoretical knowledge that we gather through hearing is converted into practical realization by rendering Vaishnava Seva, Guru Seva. Right? So that completes fourth chapter. No, fifth chapter, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada titles it like this. Again, Arjuna asks the same question, somewhat similar question that he asked in the third chapter. He says, Krishna, you said that someone who has mature detachment and knowledge, he need not work, he need not perform prescribed duties. Okay? And you are also prescribing that I should perform my activity of fighting. So should I do Karma Yoga or Sannyasa? Either he has an action or renunciation. Here the same thing he's doing, he's asking. So basically, Krishna is presenting karma sannyasa. It is not sannyasa of karma, it is sannyasa in karma. Okay? It is not renunciation of action, it is spirit of renunciation in action. Again, Krishna tries to communicate this to Arjuna. Basically, someone who is qualified for renunciation may renounce the prescribed duty also. He maintains the spirit of renunciation. So he's at one level. And a person who is performing his prescribed duties with a spirit of renunciation, so he is also as good as a person who is not prescribing duty based on renunciation. This may be renounced order of life. Here, spirit of renunciation is only there. But both are, in one sense, same. Okay? But what is preferable to Arjuna? Yes, Jnana Yoga is higher than Karma Yoga. But what is preferable? Arjuna, Krishna is repeatedly recommending to Arjuna that you can better do this Karma Yoga than Jnana Yoga. Okay? It may be higher, but it is better for you to set the right example for common people. So one who is qualified for a higher level also may do something on a lower level. Okay? So, and again Krishna elaborates on this principle. If you maintain a spirit of detachment and perform all activities as an offering to the Supreme, then you will not be incurring any sinful reactions. Okay? He says, Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan napinalipyate. So, yoga yukto vishuddhatma, a person who is engaged in yoga, vishuddhatma, with a clean heart, with a purified heart, with a heart filled with detachment and no material desires. So, and vijitatma jitendriyaha, he has sense control and mind control. Then sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan napinalipyate. Although he is performing so many activities on a material plane, dealing with matter, he will not be entangled by matter. Okay? How? He gives an example. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya sangam tyaktva karotiyaha lipyatena sapapena padmapatramivambhasam. So, brahmanyadhaya karmani, work for the Supreme, not just detachment, offer as an offering to the Supreme. So work with detachment as an offering to the Supreme. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Give up your attachment. And lipyate nasa papena. Then you will not be incurring any papa or material reaction or sin. Padmapatram ivambhasa. Just like padmapatram, a lotus leaf, although it is in water, it will not become wet. It's waterproof, although it is in water. Like that. So, one can attain liberation by focusing on the Supreme in this way. And such a mature person will be able to see all the living entities on an equal plane. He maintains an equal vision. That's what he says. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini sunichaivasva pakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. Vidya vinaya sampanne, a person who is endowed with humility and knowledge, he can see brahmane, a brahmana, gavi, a cow, hastini, an elephant, and sunichaiva svapakecha, a dog and a dog eater, on an equal plane. Because Paramatma is there in the heart of every living entity, every embodied being, thus everybody is equal. Everybody is a child of God, everybody is connected to God, God is there in everybody's heart. And further, even if you see from a material perspective also, this body is made of what? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Okay? Other bodies are also made of that matter only. Body is material. Once this small layer, whatever 1 mm or 0.5 mm layer of skin is removed, what is inside is blood, bones, urine, mucus, stool, bile, etc., which is equal in all bodies. The amount may be different. The shape may be slightly different, but the ingredients are same. So materially, spiritually, all are same. In one sense, right? But the little differences attract the attention of people. Oh, he is beautiful, he is not beautiful. So all these differences will attract and we will be caught up in this material dualities. Okay? But an advanced soul will be able to have an equal vision. And finally, Krishna speaks this beautiful shloka. Bhoktaram yagna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhrudam sarva bhutanam Jnatva mam shanti mrchatim. Bhoktaram yagna tapasam. Please understand, I am the bhokta, I am the supreme enjoyer of all your activities or sacrifices or austerities. Second, sarvaloka maheshwaram, I am the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. Number three, suhrudam sarva bhutanam, I am the genuine, intimate, dearest well-wisher of every single living entity. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, and supreme well-wisher. If you understand these three things, you will attain peace, Krishna says. So that completes the fifth chapter. We'll enter the sixth chapter. It's 9:15. I'll speed up the pace now. So in the Dhyana Yoga, sixth chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga. So initially Krishna gives two stages of Dhyana Yoga, which is also called Ashtanga Yoga. Why Dhyana Yoga? Because in this practice, in this yoga practice, meditation on the Supreme Lord is the key element. That's why it is called Dhyana Yoga. In this, there are 8 kinds of limbs. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Yama, Niyama are do's and don'ts. Prescriptions and prohibitions. Rules and regulations, yama, niyama. Asana is sitting exercises, bodily exercises. Pranayama is breathing exercises. Pratyahara is you are beginning to control the mind. So far it's on the sensual platform only, senses platform only. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. When you come to pratyahara, you are trying to bring the mind back from distracting material objects, sense objects. Okay? Then do what? Dharana. Focus on the Supreme Lord. So, that is the beginning of focusing on the Supreme Lord, meditating on the Supreme Lord, that is dharana. When that meditation on the Lord becomes intensified, it is called dhyana. When it becomes even more intensified, one gets into trance in that meditation, it becomes samadhi. Right? So these are the 8 practices of Ashtanga Yoga. So the initial practices are this Aruruksha stage, up to Pratyahara. Some people add dharana also there. So then once you come into proper meditation on the Lord, it becomes Arudha stage. So Krishna describes this Aruruksha and Arudha, Yoga Aruruksha and Yoga Arudha stages of Ashtanga Yoga. In this, mind is the most important element. Okay? Mind control is pivotal in advancement in Dhyana Yoga. So, Krishna says, Uddhared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadayet Atmaivahyatmano Bandhur Atmaivaripuratmanah Uddhared Atmana Atmanam. One Atma is mind, one Atma is soul. You try to elevate your soul, elevate yourself by controlling the mind. If you don't control the mind will be, the self will be degraded. Uddhared Atmana Atmanam Natmanam Avasadayet. Right? The mind which is controlled is your friend. The mind which is uncontrolled is your enemy. Okay? Bundhuratmatmanastasya yenatmainavatmanajitaha anatmanastya shatrutvi vartyet atmaiva shatruvat. So, same meaning. Basically, controlled mind is your friend. Uncontrolled mind is your enemy. So, it's very... Mind control is very important in progress in Dhyana Yoga. And Krishna later describes various practices of an Ashtanga Yogi. How he has to sit on a certain clean platform in a secluded place and all that. So many details of yoga are given. Okay? And he has to be very regulated in his habits. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkhada. So one should be very regulated in one's ahara, means eating. Vihara, recreation. Karma means activities. One has to be regulated. So, and mind goes here and there. When you are trying to do yoga, then in the 26th shloka, Krishna says, mind control formula. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam sthiram tato tato niyam yaitad atmanyeva vasham nayet. So, wherever the mind wanders, distracted mind wanders here and there, you should bring that mind back and focus on your goal. Focus on the Lord. So now Arjuna becomes little worried. Krishna, I can control W-I-N-D, not M-I-N-D. I can control mind, I cannot control wind. Sorry, I can control wind, I cannot control mind. He says, Chanchalam himanaha Krishna pramathi balavadrudham tasyaham nigraham manye vayo rivasudushkaram. So my mind is so fickle, so chinchalam, it's so restless, obstinate, very strong, stubborn, adamant. Controlling wind is easier than controlling mind. So Krishna says, yeah, I understand that. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge the difficulty in mind control. He says, Asham sayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. I understand that controlling mind is very difficult, but by abhyasa and vairagya, you can control the mind. Eventually, right? Abhyasa is practice to control the mind. Wherever the mind goes here and there, bring it back. Okay? And you are trying to bring it back. And another point is vairagya. Develop some detachment from that distracting sense object. By detachment and practice, you will be able to control. So now, Arjuna had another doubt. Krishna, what if a person practices yoga for a while and deviates from the practice? What happens to an unsuccessful yogi? So Krishna gives two types. A person who deviates from the yoga after a long practice and after a short practice. Okay? In either case, basically what Krishna says is, the person who once began practice of yoga and could not complete, could not be successful in completion of that yoga, will get another chance in the next life to be able to practice. Right? He may take birth in good families, favorable families, whether devoted families or Brahmana families or aristocratic Vaishya families, who also have some spiritual inclinations. So there he can continue his practice. Okay? But of all the yogis, the best yogi is the bhakti yogi. Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmanam shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataham. Yoginam api sarvesham, of all kinds of yogis, madgatena antaratmana, within oneself, who is meditating upon me, whoever is devoting or dedicating himself to me, such a yogi is the best of all yogis. Shraddhavan bhajate. Bhajate means performing devotional service. Shraddha means with faith. Such a person is the best yogi. It is my opinion, Krishna says. So this becomes the seed verse for the next 6 chapters. So we completed the Karma Yoga section. We'll enter the Jnana Yoga section. Bhakti Yoga section now. 7th chapter. So Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Mayasaktamanaha Partham Yogam Yunjanmadashrayaham Asamsayam Samagrammam Yathagnasasi Tatshrunu. So, my dear Arjuna, please hear about me, from me. Okay? Then you will come to me. This is a Kevala Bhakti verse. Mayasaktamanaha Partha. You become asakta, you become very eager to know me, to meditate on me, fix your mind on me only. Okay, and other things are there. Samadashraya, take my shelter. So I am going to reveal to you knowledge about myself. So Krishna is going to reveal 2 things, jnana and vijnana. Jnana is knowledge about Krishna's energies, material and spiritual energies. Vijnana means knowledge about Krishna's personal qualities. It's much deeper. His sweetness, his reciprocation with devotees. So 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita describe jnana, and 9th chapter describes vijnana. In the 7th and 8th chapter, we understand a generic description of Krishna's energies and opulences and powers and his all-pervasive nature. In the 9th chapter, we understand Krishna's heart. What is there in Krishna's heart, we understand. In the 9th chapter, how he deals with his devotees, how he is so accommodative, forgiving and loving, all that we will see in the 9th chapter. So now, Krishna speaks about his material and spiritual energies. He says, Bhumira ponalo vayuhu khammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtada. So this earth, water, fire, air, ether, there are 5 gross elements, mind, intelligence, ego, there are 3 subtle elements, and all our bodies are made of these 8 elements. Right? They are all Krishna's external energies, material energies. And there is spiritual energy also. The jivas, means the body is made of these 8 gross and subtle material elements, and within that there is jiva, which is spiritual. That is also Krishna's energy, prakriti. Okay, jiva. So then Krishna says that finally, mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjayam. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. So mattaha parataram nanyat. There is no one superior to me. Kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Just like small pearls rest on a string. Now this garland is there. So we are not seeing the thread, but inside the garland there is thread which is holding all the flowers together. Similarly, you may see so many things in this material world, all of them are put together, are sustained only based on the thread of Krishna. Krishna says that. So, all that we see in this world is a combination of matter and spirit. And Krishna is the source of matter and spirit. Knowledge means to understand matter, spirit, and the source and controller of both. Okay? So now Krishna is all pervasive. Krishna says, Rasoham apsu Kaunteya prabhasmi sisi surya yoh. I am the taste of water, I am the heat of light of sun and moon. All that Krishna says, he is all pervasive. Okay, but all these opulences Krishna describes is in terms of how Krishna is sustaining this material world. But all the products in this material world are manifestations of modes, material modes, which are also Krishna's energies. And not only Krishna is sustaining everything through these modes, the modes are also entangling the conditioned souls. How to come out of that entanglement of material modes? Krishna says, Daivi he shagudamayi mamamaya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Daivi hesha gunamayi, this material energy, which is also divine, this divine energy of mind that constitutes of material modes, is very difficult to overcome. Right? Mama maya duratyaya. You cannot surpass this maya. But mameva ye prapadyante, if you take my shelter, you can easily cross over the maya, this influence of maya. So, who surrenders to Krishna? Four kinds of people do not surrender to Krishna. So, four kinds of people surrender to Krishna. Krishna speaks all that. So, let's speak only of those people who are surrendering to Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajanti imam janaha sukritino arjunam arto jignasur arthartthi gnani cha bharatarshabha. Means four kinds of people approach Krishna. They are, number one, artha, distressed people. Artharthi, those who need money. Jignasu means people who are very inquisitive, and gnani, people who are desiring knowledge. So these are the four categories of people who approach Krishna, but all of them are not pure devotees. Right? So Krishna says that of all these four, gnani is the best. Okay, because he is more serious in connecting with Krishna than other people who are connecting to Krishna for money or to relieve of distress, etc. So, and to become a pure devotee of Krishna is very rare. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabhaha. So it's very difficult to become, to surrender to Krishna. Prapadyante is not an easy thing. So Krishna describes people who approach him with multiple agendas, and Krishna also appreciates a person who approaches Krishna with absolutely no material desires. Okay? And Krishna also talks about demigod worship. People who worship Krishna only in an indirect manner, to fulfill their immediate material desires. Antavantu phalam tesham means when someone worships the demigods, they may get material results, but the results have an end. They are not eternal results. So all that Krishna speaks. Krishna talks about impersonalism also a little bit. And finally, who can surrender to Krishna and who can perform devotional service with full determination? Krishna says, Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridhavrataha. To be practicing determined devotional service unto Krishna, one should be relieved of all sinful propensities. Okay? That is the 7th chapter. Now, 8th chapter is attaining the Supreme Lord. Okay, how to attain the Supreme? Now, in the beginning, Krishna defines certain terminologies, Brahma, Adhyatma, Adhideva, and all that. Later, Krishna speaks about how to remember Krishna at the time of death. Very beautiful series of 4 shlokas. He says, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaha prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. Antakale cha mam eva, at the end of one's life, at the time of death, if one remembers Krishna only, mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram, one gives up one's material body by remembering Krishna, one can attain Krishna's nature. And how is that possible? In the next shloka, Krishna says, if you remember Krishna, you will attain Krishna at the time of death. If you remember something else at the time of death, you will attain that thing. Yam yam vapismaran bhavam. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he remembered a deer. He attained the body of a deer. Of course, there are more deeper perspectives there. So, but our remembrance of Krishna at the time of death depends on how we remember Krishna throughout our life. Okay. So one cannot think that I will do whatever I want throughout my life. So at the time of death, I will just chant Narayana or Krishna and I'll go back to Krishna. It is not possible. A student who is spaced out throughout the academic year or a semester will not get high rank on the last final examination day. So our remembrance of Krishna at the end of our life depends on how we practice devotional service throughout one's life. That's what Krishna says. Maam anusmara yudhyacha tasmat sarveshu kaleshu maam anusmara. Please remember me at all times. Then Krishna also talks about yoga mishra bhakti. Remember Krishna by yoga mishra bhakti. Means some people perform shat chakra yoga and then they remember the Lord. Okay. And they attain Brahman. Then later Krishna speaks about remembering Krishna with pure devotion. That is the Kevala Bhakti Shloka, 14th Shloka. Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityasaha tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yoginaha. Ananya chetaha satatam. Ananya means no deviation in the mind. Satatam, always. So at all times and exclusively Krishna only, if one remembers, yomam smarati nityasaha. For such a devotee, tasya aham sulabha, I am very easily attainable. Krishna uses the word sulabha only here. Only if one has kevala bhakti, Krishna is accessible or attainable. Easily, sulabha. In other cases like impersonalist people, klesho dhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chetasam. Klesha adhika, they undergo a lot of difficulties and they with great difficulty attain their goals. But a devotee who is nitya yukta, who is constantly engaged in devotional service without any interruptions, without any motivations, such a person can easily attain Krishna. So that constant engagement in bhakti, uninterrupted engagement in bhakti is emphasized by Krishna repeatedly. Nitya, satatam, these words come. So here you see, satatam is there. Nitya saha is there. Again nitya is there. In one shloka, three times, constant is coming. So now, Krishna describes how by remembering Krishna, you attain Krishna. And how by remembering something else, you attain something else. And Krishna also talks about the qualities of material world and spiritual world. If you remember Krishna, you will attain spiritual world. If you remember someone else or something else within this material world, you remain in this material world. That spiritual world is eternal, material world is temporary. Krishna describes that. And then Krishna also describes the paths of light and darkness and finally says, Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phala pratishtam atyeti tatsarva midam viditva yogi param sthanam paiti chadyam. So what you attain by Vedic study, Vedeshu, yagneshu by sacrifices, tapasu by doing austerities, daneshu by giving charities, punya phala pratishtam, whatever piety you accumulate. By performing devotional service unto Krishna, you will attain much more than all those results. So, yogi param sthanam upaiti chajyam, a bhakti yogi has the supreme most, topmost position. That brings us to the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is going to elaborately describe the science of pure devotional service, which is called most confidential knowledge. This is kevala bhakti. So what Krishna spoke from 2nd chapter to 6th chapter is guhya knowledge, confidential knowledge. He is describing about matter and spirit. What Krishna spoke in 7th and 8th chapters, it is more confidential knowledge, guhya tara, because Krishna is talking about his own energies. What Krishna is describing in the 9th chapter is most confidential knowledge, guhya tama, because Krishna is going to speak about kevala bhakti, not just normal bhakti. Okay? So, that is pure bhakti. And Krishna says, Raja vidya, raja guhyam, pavitram, idam uttamam, pratyaksha avagamam, dharmyam, susukham, kartum avyayam. So, this is king of all secrets. Raja guhyam. And is king of all knowledge. And pavitram, very pure, uttamam, that takes you beyond this dark material world. So, it is very easily performed, all that Krishna speaks. Now, Krishna is going to reveal the knowledge of his opulences. Now in the 7th chapter Krishna spoke about his energies. In the 9th chapter also Krishna speaks. So the flow of 7th and 9th chapters is somewhat similar. Okay, more or less similar. మయా తదమిదం సర్వం జగదవ్యక్తమూర్తిన మత్స్థాని సర్వభూతాని నచాహం తేషు అవస్థితః. ఐఎమ్ ఆల్ పెర్వైడింగ్ త్రూఅవుట్ ద యూనివర్స్. ఐఎమ్ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ నూక్ అండ్ కార్నర్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్. వితౌట్ మీ నథింగ్ కెన్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ మీ. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ మీ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఇన్ దెమ్, బట్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఇన్ దెమ్ ఆల్సో. ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ మీ, బట్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ ఎనీథింగ్. ఆర్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ఆర్కెస్ట్రేటింగ్ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ యూనివర్స్. మై ఎనర్జీస్, మై ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్ లైక్ పురుషావతారస్, దే డూ ద నీడ్ఫుల్. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ ఐఎమ్ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ మీ. ఇఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ హిమ్, హౌ కెన్ హీ బీ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్? ఎస్, యాజ్ మహావిష్ణు. మహావిష్ణు ఇస్ దట్ కారణోదక సై విష్ణు హూ లైస్ ఆన్ ద కాజల్ ఓషన్. ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ బాడీలీ పోర్స్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ యూనివర్సెస్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ అవుట్. మీన్స్ హిస్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. ఓకే, అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ హిమ్. ఆల్ ద యూనివర్సెస్ ఆర్ దేర్ విత్ ఇన్ హిమ్. అండ్ వన్స్ ద యూనివర్సెస్ కమ్ అవుట్, దట్ మహావిష్ణు ఎక్స్పాండ్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఎస్ గర్భోదక సై విష్ణు అండ్ ఎంటర్స్ ఈచ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ యూనివర్స్. మీన్స్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ హిస్ కెపాసిటీ ఎస్ పురుషావతారస్. సో త్రూ హిస్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్స్ అండ్ ఎనర్జీస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ దేర్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ. ఇస్ వెరీ సింపుల్ వే ఆఫ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. ఓకే, అండ్ మయాధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే సచరాచరం హేతునానేన కౌంతేయ జగద్ విపరివర్తతి. మయా అధ్యక్షేణ, బై మై సూపరింటెండెన్స్ దిస్ ఎంటైర్ మెటీరియల్ ఎనర్జీ ఆర్ ప్రకృతి ఇస్ ప్రొడ్యూసింగ్ సో మెనీ మూవింగ్ అండ్ నాన్ మూవింగ్ బీయింగ్స్. ఓకే, సో కృష్ణ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ హిస్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. బట్ వెన్ కృష్ణ డిసెండ్స్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇన్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ ఫామ్, ఫులిష్ పీపుల్ డిరైడ్ హిమ్. కృష్ణ సేస్, అవజానంతి మా మూఢ మనుషీం తనుమాశ్రితం పరం భావమజానంతో మమ భూతమహేశ్వరం. లైక్ పీపుల్ లైక్ శిశుపాల, పౌండ్రక అండ్ మెనీ అదర్ పీపుల్, జరాసంధ, దుర్యోధన్, దుశ్శాసన్, ఆల్ దీస్ పీపుల్, దే డోంట్ ఎక్నాలెడ్జ్ కృష్ణస్ గాడ్హుడ్ వెన్ హీ అపియర్స్ ఇన్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ ఫామ్. బట్ ఆన్ ద అదర్ హ్యాండ్, ఇన్ కాంట్రాస్ట్ టు దిస్, వీ హ్యావ్ డివోటీస్, మహాత్మస్. దే వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ అనలాయిడ్ డివోషన్. మహాత్మానస్తు మాం పార్థ దైవీం ప్రకృతిమాశ్రితం భజంత్యనన్య మనసో జ్ఞాత్వా భూతాదిమవ్యయం. మహాత్మానస్తు మాం పార్థ. మహాత్మాస్, గ్రేట్ సోల్స్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ మూఢాస్ యాజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోకాస్. మహాత్మాస్, గ్రేట్ సోల్స్, దే టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దైవీం ప్రకృతి, మీన్స్ ద డివైన్ ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమతి రాధారాణి. ద సెవెంత్ క్యాంటో 14th చాప్టర్ ఆల్సో వీ డిస్కస్డ్ దైవీ హియషా గుణమయీ మమ మాయా దొరతయ. దట్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో దైవీ, దైవీ ప్రకృతి. దట్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో డివైన్ ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. దిస్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో డివైన్ ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. బట్ దాట్ దైవీ ఈజ్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు మెటీరియల్ మోడ్స్ అండ్ కండిషన్ సోల్స్, అండ్ దిస్ దైవీ ఈజ్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు మహాత్మాస్, అనలాయిడ్ డివోటీస్. సో దిస్ దైవీ ఈజ్ శ్రీమతి రాధారాణి, యాజ్ ప్రభుపాద్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ డిస్క్రైబ్స్. సో దైవీం ప్రకృతిం ఆశ్రితాః, టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమతి రాధారాణి. భజంతి అనన్య మనసో, సచ్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్వేస్ వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ అనన్య, వితౌట్ ఎనీ డీవియేషన్స్ ఇన్ దేర్ మైండ్. అండ్ దే ఆల్సో అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద సుప్రీం సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. జ్ఞాత్వా భూతాదిమవ్యయం, అండ్ వాట్ ఎల్స్ దే డూ? సతతం కీర్తయంతో మాం యతంతశ్చ దృఢవ్రత నమస్యంతశ్చ మాం భక్త్యా నిత్యయుక్త ఉపాసతి. సతతం కీర్తయంతో మాం, దే ఆల్వేస్ గ్లోరిఫై కృష్ణ. యతంతశ్చ దృఢవ్రతాః, విత్ గ్రేట్ డిటర్మినేషన్ దే వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ. అండ్ నమస్యంతశ్చ మాం భక్త్యా, విత్ గ్రేట్ డివోషన్ దే ఆఫర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు కృష్ణ. నిత్యయుక్త ఉపాసతి, అగైన్ నిత్య వర్డ్కమ్, సతతం నిత్య, బోత్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది శ్లోక. దే కాన్స్టెంట్లీ డూ ఇట్. దే డోంట్ డూ వన్స్ ఇన్ ఎ వైల్, వన్స్ ఇన్ ఎ వీక్ ఐ విల్ చాంట్ హరే కృష్ణ, నాట్ లైక్ దట్. ఇట్స్ దే ఆర్ సతతం ఎంగేజ్డ్. సో నౌ యూ సీ, దేర్ ఆర్ 700 శ్లోకాస్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత. ఫస్ట్ 6 చాప్టర్స్ ఆర్ భక్తి ఆర్ కర్మ యోగ, లాస్ట్ 6 చాప్టర్స్ ఆర్ జ్ఞాన యోగ, మిడిల్ 6 చాప్టర్స్ ఆర్ భక్తి యోగ. ఓకే, నౌ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది 700 శ్లోకాస్ అప్ టు 9th చాప్టర్ 12th శ్లోక దెర్ ఆర్ 349 శ్లోకాస్. ఫ్రమ్ 9th చాప్టర్ 15th శ్లోక టిల్ ద ఎండ్ దెర్ ఆర్ 349 శ్లోకాస్. నౌ ద టూ శ్లోకాస్ దట్ వి డిస్కస్ నౌ, 13 and 14, వేర్ కృష్ణ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ రాధారాణి అండ్ కీర్తనం, చాంటింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, దే ఆర్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత, ద మిడిల్ టూ శ్లోకాస్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత, రైట్? సో కృష్ణ కెప్ట్ దిస్ మోస్ట్ ఎక్సైటింగ్ పార్ట్ రైట్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్, 350 and 351 నంబర్స్. So then Krishna talks about different types of worshippers. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prathakvena bahudha vishvato mukham. There are three types of jnanis who worship Krishna. They are worshippers in oneness, impersonalists basically. They think themselves God. Second is prathakvena. They are worshippers in diversity. Means they worship all kinds of demigods. And vishvato mukham, they worship the universe. They consider the universe as God and worship. These are the three types of people who worship Krishna. Three types of jnanis. Krishna talks about all of them. But best of all people who approach Krishna are ananya bhaktas. And Krishna takes care of their yoga and kshema. Krishna says that. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejanah paryupasati. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Ananyas chintayanto mam. Again, ananya word is coming here. Ananya bhakti. So one who does not think about anything. Okay. Ye janah paryupasate. They worship Krishna only. Pariupasate. Very exclusively, devotedly they worship Krishna. Tesham nitya. Again, nitya word comes. Nitya abhyuktanam. For such people who constantly worship Krishna, yoga kshemam vahami aham. I personally take care of their yoga and kshema. Here yoga is devotee's approach towards Krishna. Kshema is Krishna's reciprocation towards devotee's approach. And yoga kshema can also mean Krishna preserves what we have, yoga, and Krishna supplies what we lack, that is kshema. And yoga kshema is not only on a material level. Okay, Krishna takes care of the needs of devotees. Yoga is our approach towards Krishna by some spiritual path. And Krishna keeps our inspiration and commitment to that spiritual path also on. That is also yoga kshema. So Krishna helps us in our practice of spiritual life, and Krishna gives us the results of our practice of spiritual life also. In that sense, also yoga kshemam. Vahami aham. Aham means I will personally do it. I will not delegate it to my expansions or energies. Right? So to punish living entities, sinful people, Krishna outsourced, delegated the task to Yamaraj. To create, maintain and destroy this world, Krishna has this Gunavataras and Purushavataras and all that. But when a pure devotee is constantly worshipping Krishna, Krishna says, yoga kshema vahami aham. I will personally take care of their yogas and kshemas. Okay? Next. That's why pure bhakti of Krishna is so glorious. And we come to the one of the sweetest shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam falam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Patram, a leaf. Pushpam, flower. Phalam, a fruit. Toyam, little water. You can give this much only to Krishna. If you can't afford to make big offerings, at least give patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. This explains the innocence and simplicity of bhakti yoga. Performing bhakti yoga is not an expensive affair, not an elaborate affair. It's a very simple affair. But what is needed? Bhaktya prayachati, devotion, love is needed. Right? Krishna says that again. Bhakti upahritam, tadaham bhakti upahritam. Upahrita. Upahara means gift. When you're gifting somebody, you don't expect anything in return, right? Means when you're worshipping Krishna, offering something to Krishna, don't expect anything in return. Right? So sometimes one may break one coconut and ask for a good car, bungalow, so many things. So, bhakti upahritam means you gift, you offer gifts to Krishna. Gifts need not be expensive also. Patram pushpam phalam tayam. You make simple offerings. Bhakti is very affordable. Even a poor man also can take little clean water and offer to Krishna and take pluck little flower and offer to Krishna. All is needed is devotion. Then Krishna will accept it. Ashnami prayatatmanaha. Ashnami means eating. I will eat that. Basically, I will accept that. Right? So, now Advaita Acharya offered Ganga Chal and some Tulsi leaves to Shaligram. And this Sudama, florist in Mathura city, he offered flowers and flower garlands to Krishna, Pushpam. And fruit vendor and Shabari, they offered phalam, berries, fruits to Krishna. So, that is the simplicity of pure bhakti yoga. What is more important is devotion, love. Loving offerings Krishna accepts. What if one does not have love? What can I offer? Yes, still you offer. That's what Krishna says in the next shloka. This is not Kevala Bhakti. 9.26 is Kevala Bhakti. There is only pure devotion in your offering. But even if you fall little short of that devotion, still you continue to offer. Okay, that's what Krishna says in the next shloka. Yat karoshi yad asnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you do, do everything as an offering to me, madarpanam. I will take care of you. At least by doing this also, you will gain great advantage. And I am not partial. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyostina priyaha. Ye bhajintu tumam bhaktya maitiya teshu chapyaham. I am equal to everyone. Don't worry about that. Okay, don't think that I am partial towards someone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am not partial to anyone. Name dveshyostina priyaha. I don't hold anyone very dear to me and I don't hate anyone. But, although he says I am impartial, he says I am partial also. Right? He says, ye bhajintu tu mam bhaktya. Although I don't have any partiality, still one who worships me with exclusive devotion becomes an object of my partiality. Right? So, ye bhajinti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I am there in him, he is there in me. We are friends of each other. I have some special bent on that person. I become little partial towards that person in one sense, right? Basically, Krishna is not partial. Krishna is not impartial also. Krishna is reciprocal and Krishna is impartially partial. Means, he is impartial in giving a chance to everybody to come into his arena of partiality. Right? So you have a chance to become a pure devotee and I can be partial to you. Don't worry. Right? But if you don't come to my arena of partiality and you say that you are partial to devotees only, you don't look at other people, no, that doesn't work. Come to me first. I'll be partial to you. So, now, how much Krishna is very forgiving towards his devotees, Krishna explains in the next two shlokas. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhureva samantavyaha samyag vyavasito hisaha. Apichet sudaracharo, even if my devotee performs most abominable activities, I consider him sadhu. Okay? Because he will again be reinstated in the right understanding and he will continue on the right path, righteous path. Okay? That's the basic meaning of this shloka. Akshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati. Kaunteya prajyani hiname bhaktaha pranasyati. So my devotee who has done some mistakes also can again come back to the normal path. Name bhaktaha pranasyati. My devotee will never perish. Oh Partha, you go and announce this to the whole world. If you announce, I will give more importance to your words than my words. Okay? I will be more obliged to fulfill your prophecy than mine. So you go and announce. So this is how I am kind to my devotees. Now, that does not mean that a devotee purposefully commits mistakes or sinful activities or abominable activities, sudurachara, in a premeditated manner. So here the mistakes are accidental mistakes, incidental mistakes, unintentional mistakes, circumstantial mistakes, occasional mistakes, not intentional and frequent mistakes. Right? So there, once in a while they may do because of some past impressions or some past habits or some other temptation, they must have done it. But they feel honestly, they realize that mistake, they regret for that mistake, they honestly repent for that mistake, they try not to repeat that mistake and they remember that mistake and remain humble. But a dishonest person will purposefully commit mistake and they don't repent, they even justify. Okay? So here, it's like occasional mistakes, accidental mistakes, not intentional mistakes. So, and there are so many beautiful perspectives. There are some conventional, there are very conservative perspectives and there are very liberal perspectives of this. There are very rasic perspectives also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur applies this whole discussion to gopis. Okay? So, sudhuracharo bhajati imam ananya bhag. So people may consider gopis living off their houses. Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilanghyati achyutagataha. They left their families in the middle of the night and they went to Krishna, people may consider it durachara, sudurachara. But actually they are ananya bhag. They are pure devotees of Krishna. If you consider them as pure devotees of Krishna, and if you consider their activity not as sudurachara, you become dharmatma. Right? You are righteous person. So like that, there are so many beautiful perspectives. But one thing is, this shloka is not a license for devotees to perform any activities. Devotees also take moral responsibility, ethical responsibility. They don't unnecessarily do any mistakes in the name of their devotion to Krishna. Right? Purposefully. Accidentally something might happen. So finally Krishna gives this shloka. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah. Manmana. A devotee always thinks of Krishna. Madbhakto. Krishna says, become my devotee. Think of me. Become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer obeisances unto me. Then you will come back to me without any doubt. This beautiful shloka is considered the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Now, sarvopanishado gavo dogdha gopalanandanah. So, all the Upanishads, when they are compared to a cow, the essence of that cow, the milk, is compared to Bhagavad Gita. Thus, Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. And the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga section, is the essence of all essence. And in that middle six chapters, the middle two chapters of 9th and 10th chapters, that is the essence of the essence of the essence. And in that also 9.34, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto, is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence. Right? So that is the essence, further essence. 10th shloka, 10th chapter, opulence of the absolute. Now Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, always remember me. So how should I remember you always? By what ways? Krishna describes that in the 10th chapter. So Krishna says that, oh my dear Arjuna, I am going to tell you paramam vachaha, supreme instruction now, which is more confidential than what I have spoken before. Right? Bhuya eva mahabaho srunume paramam vachaha. Krishna is increasing the temperature or increasing the confidentiality of the subject matter that he is going to reveal. Okay. So srunume paramam vachaha. Okay. He says, people cannot understand me so easily. Name viduhu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha. Aham adirhi devana maharshinam cha sarvachaha. I am the origin of all sages and devas. They cannot understand me. So, now Krishna is going to reveal knowledge about himself in four beautiful shlokas. And how he reciprocates with his devotees also. First he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am there everywhere. Everything is coming from me only. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. Everything that is there in the material and spiritual worlds is emanating from me only. Iti matva bhajante mam. Knowing this fact about me, if you worship me with love and devotion, buddha bhava samanvitaha, you are the wise person. So devotees know Krishna as the source of everything and worship Him. And what do such devotees do? After knowing Krishna as everything, devotees constantly discuss about Krishna with love and affection when they meet other devotees. That's the activity of devotees. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanticham. Machitta madgata prana. Machitta means devotees dedicate their minds to Krishna. Madgata prana means they dedicate their entire lives to Krishna. They cannot sustain their lives without Krishna, just like a fish cannot sustain its life without water. That sense. And kathayantascha mam nityam, they constantly discuss and glorify Krishna when they meet other devotees. Tushyanticha ramanticha, with great satisfaction, joy and bliss. They take delight in enlightening each other when they meet other devotees. So these are the symptoms of pure devotees. So Krishna Katha is not just discussion about Krishna or speaking about Krishna with a mic in a temple hall with proper sound system in a classroom setup or a pandal setup or a temple hall setup. Yeah, this is needed. This is wonderful. But discussion about Krishna is also in one's private conversations. Here, Krishna did not speak about sound system here. Right? Bodhayantaha parasparam. Parasparam bodhayantaha. Mutually, one-to-one discussions also, they speak about Krishna. Even devotees also, when they meet each other, they may have 100 topics to talk about. But if we can increase the Krishna element, the discussions about Krishna, Krishna's kunama, rupa, guna, leela or seva. Seva we do a lot, definitely. But other things also, other attributes of Krishna also, if we can bring into our personal discussions, that's a very great level of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So, next. What will Krishna do to such devotees? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti tem tesham evanukampartham aham ajnanajam tamaham nashayamyatma bhavostho jnana deepena bhasvata. So Krishna, who is dwelling within their hearts as the super soul, will destroy the darkness of their ignorance with the lamp of his knowledge. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give them the necessary buddhi or the intelligence by which they can come to Krishna's shelter. Yena maam upayantite. So our inspiration to approach Krishna is also coming from Krishna. Our intelligence in traversing the spiritual path is also given to us by Krishna. Without Krishna, where is our survival on a spiritual path or in this material world? Right? So, and after hearing all this, Arjuna acknowledges Krishna's supreme position. He says, Param Brahma Param Dhama Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Deva Majam Vibhum. So you are Parama Purusha, you are this, you are that, you are the supreme origin of everything. Not only me, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, so many exalted personalities are also acknowledging this fact of your supremacy, O Krishna. Arjuna acknowledges this and requests Krishna to describe his divine opulences by which he sustains, maintains and supports this entire universe. And Krishna describes all his opulences. Adityanam aham Vishnu. I am Vamana amongst the Adityas. I am Sun amongst the luminaries. I am Moon amongst the stars. I am Shankara amongst the Rudras. Like that, there's a big list of opulences. You can see 10th canto, 10th chapter, second half. So you can see this one picture shows everything. Krishna is Brahma also. Krishna is Shiva also. Then Ram amongst all people who are holding bow. He's Narada amongst Devarshis. He's Prahlada amongst the Daityas. He is shark amongst the fishes. He is lion amongst the animals. Like that, Krishna describes a lot of his vibhutis. That does not mean others are not Krishna. They are representatives in a broader category. Okay? And that also does not mean that everything is Krishna, you worship anyone. Not like that. So nothing can survive without Krishna. Krishna is the source, sustenance and basis, foundation or support of everything that you see in this entire creation. So that's the vibhuti, opulence of Krishna. So now, in the 10th chapter, Krishna described his opulences, described his powers. And finally he said that, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tat tat evava gachatvam mama tejom sa sambhavam. He said that whatever beautiful, majestic, grand that you see in the entire creation is just a spark of my splendor. Mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Teja is a splendor, amsha is a small spark. Right? And in the 11th chapter, Krishna describes, in the 10th chapter, Krishna described his opulences. In the 11th chapter, he exhibits all his opulences or power or grand majesty, grandeur. Because Arjuna asks him, Krishna, I am very curious to see that form of yours by which you pervade and support this entire universe. Krishna said, I am all pervading. Okay, as super soul. In the 10th chapter, at the end. Now Arjuna says, in what form do you support and pervade this entire universe? Now Krishna describes this Vishwarupa. Krishna exhibits his Vishwarupa. Okay. Earlier only description, now display. Okay. To the eyes of Arjuna. And this display is not possible. This vision is not possible for anyone and everyone. This is Adrishta Purvam. Before Krishna has not revealed it. So Lord Krishna described this universal form. He only described initially. He said that, see everything that exists at all times, at all places, at one place. Krishna is Sarva Desha Vyapa, Sarva Kala Vyapa. He exists in all phases of time, past, present and future. He exists at all places, in every nook and corner of the entire universe, in all the material and spiritual worlds. So, everything that is there in this entire cosmic material manifestation, Krishna exhibits at one place to Arjuna. And Arjuna is astonished. And Arjuna cannot speak anything. So, the conversation goes to the outer loop. What is the outer loop here? The conversation between Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. So, Sanjaya takes over. And Sanjaya describes the experiences of Arjuna in seeing the universal form. And later, the conversation goes inside to the inside loop. And Arjuna starts describing the universal form. Aneka bahu daravaktranetram pashyamitvam sarvatonantarupam nantam na madhyam na punasthavadim pashyami visveshvara visvarupa. So, aneka bahu daravaktranetram, I am seeing unlimited bellies, unlimited arms, unlimited eyes, unlimited faces, unlimited mouths, decorated with beautiful ornaments and garlands, sandalwood pulp, all that. Arjuna is seeing such a magnificent, grand manifestation of Krishna's opulence in all directions. Not that he is seeing in one direction. Wherever he is, he is only seeing the faces of the universal form, different limbs of the universal form. Everything that exists in the entire universe is presented as the limbs or parts of the body of this Vishwarupa. So Arjuna was totally bewildered. And after exhibiting Vishwarupa, the Lord exhibits Kala Rupa. So Kala Rupa, Vishwarupa Krishna exhibited at different places also. Like Duryodhana also he showed. And Mother Yashoda also has seen the entire universe in Krishna's mouth. But in that, Kala Rupa was not there. There was no blood, there is no fire emanating from mouth, there is no Indra, there is no Drona, Bhishma, Karna entering that mouth. All this is not there. So now in this form of Kala Rupa, which is very ghastly and fearful, Arjuna sees that Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all these people are entering the various faces of Vishwarupa or Kala Rupa, just like moths enter fire and rivers enter ocean. So he says, Damstra Karala Nichate Mukhani Drishtaiva Kala Nalasannibhani Dishona Janena Labhecha Sarma Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa. So I am seeing this fearful form. Please close this darshan. In the beginning of the chapter, he became so curious, so excited to see the universal form. But after he saw this Kala Rupa, he became frightened and said, Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa, O shelter of the entire universe, please show some mercy on me. Close this display. I am unable to witness this anymore. And of course, this Vishwarupa form is not meant for devotees. But Arjuna is asking Krishna to show this Vishwarupa so that common people will get convinced of Krishna's supremacy. That's the reason. And Krishna said, and Arjuna also asked, who are you? What is your mission? And it is very clear that Vishwarupa is Vishnu. But this Kala Rupa Arjuna is unable to recognize. It's very ghastly. It's not only grand and majestic. You may become astonished to see some big display of power. But it is not only display of power. It is display of destruction also. He is seeing everything getting destroyed here. So that is Kala Rupa. So Arjuna was astonished and said, who are you? He asked Krishna, who are you? Then Krishna revealed. He said, Kalosmi loka kshayat krit pravriddho lokan samahartum iha pravrittaham rite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve yevasthitaha pratyanikeshu yodhaha. Kalosmi, I am time factor. Loka kshayat krit pravriddho. I have come here to destroy everything that is material except you. You Pandavas will not be destroyed in this war. You will see everything else getting destroyed. So in one sense, it's a very encouraging thing for Arjuna. Oh, I'm going to win in this war. First thing is, he saw the future outcomes of the war where he understood that he will become victorious, his enemies will be killed. Second, he's a Kshatriya. He will not be fearful. Okay. But third thing, he's Arjuna. He has so many military certificates. After seeing all these three, despite all these three reasons also, Arjuna is quite fearful seeing this form. So now again, Krishna says, Tasmatvamuttishtha yasholabhasva jitva shitrun bhungshvarajyam samriddham mayyayvaite nihitaha purvameva nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. He said that you just become an instrument. I have already decided the death of all these people. They are going to die in this war for sure. You just become a nimittamatra or a instrument in my plan. And yasholabhasva, you become famous, you gain prosperous kingdom. And then finally Arjuna glorified Krishna, offered obeisances to Krishna and begged apologies. Krishna, I am unable to understand your glory. I could not understand your glory so far. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti, Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam. I joked with you. I was conversing with you. Darshana, sparsha, samlapa, shayanasana, bhojanaihi. I was having all kinds of six light-hearted dealings with you. So, please forgive all my offenses, just like a father forgives son. And I request you to withdraw this display and show me that pleasing form. And Krishna mercifully says, okay, fine, no problem. I'll withdraw this form. So from that Vishwarupa, which is thousand-handed, or thousands of hands in that form, he became four-handed Vishnu form. Vishwarupa became Vishnu Rupa. And after Vishnu Rupa, Krishna displayed his two-handed human-like form, which is very pleasant and soothing, and Saumya Rupa. And seeing this form, Krishna Rupa, or Vishnu Rupa, or Vishwarupa, one needs devotion. Bhakti is the qualification to see any form of Krishna. So, Krishna emphasizes bhakti at the end. Matkarma krin mat paramo mat bhaktaha sangavarjitaha nirvairaha sarva bhuteshu yasamameti pandava matkarma krin work for me mat paramo consider me to be the supreme and mat bhaktaha become my devotee and sangavarjitaha become detached from everything material nirvairaha sarva bhuteshu and don't be envious of other people. If you do these five things, then you will come back to me. So Krishna concludes that chapter, and we enter the next chapter, 12th chapter, called devotional service. In the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, Krishna, some people who are impersonalists worship you as impersonal Brahman, and personalists worship you as the personality of Godhead. Who is better? Obviously, Krishna says, mayyavesha manoyayam niyamam nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya parayopetaha teme yukta tamo mataha. The person who is considering me as a person and performing devotional service, he is the greatest of all transcendentalists. Okay. And other people, impersonalists, te tvaksharam nirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra kamachintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha ye prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hitayarataha kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta asakta tetasam avyaktahi gatir dukham dehavadbhiravapyate. People who are approaching Krishna by worshipping impersonal Brahman, they also attain Krishna only, but impersonal aspect of Krishna. And secondly, their path is very troublesome. On the other hand, devotees traverse the spiritual path very easily, and it's a very relishable path. Yetu sarvani karmani maisanyasya matparaha ananyanaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasati. So, bhakti yoga is very easily performed and happily performed, and one can easily attain Krishna. Then Krishna describes the various progressive levels of bhakti. He says, first, fix your mind in me. Mayyeva mana adhatsva. If you can't do that. May buddhim niveshaya. Fix your intelligence in me. If you can't even do that. Try to fix your mind in me. First is effortlessly fixing mind in Krishna. Second is endeavoring to fix mind in Krishna. If you can't even do that, work for me. If you can't even do that, give up the results of your work with the detachment. So these are various levels, progressive levels that Krishna presents. And after that, Krishna describes various qualities that a devotee has that endear one to Krishna. Right? Humility, forgiveness, satisfaction, non-envy, equanimity, compassion, tolerance, worshipping Guru. So these are all various qualities that make one very dear to Krishna. Okay. So that completes the 12th chapter and the Bhakti Yoga section. We enter the Jnana Yoga section. I will quickly summarize this section. We have very less time. 13th chapter. In the 13th chapter, Arjuna asks six questions. He says, Krishna, I want to know about six terms. Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetram, Kshetragna, Jnanam, Gneyam. So Krishna describes all the six. First, Krishna begins with Kshetra and Kshetragna. Kshetra is the field of activity, this material body. Kshetragna means knower of this body. And there are two Kshetragnas. One, the knower of this material body as the soul and super soul. So soul is one knower, one Kshetragna. Super soul is another Kshetragna. The soul may know things of this one material body only, his own body. But Paramatma, the Supreme Lord, knows about all material bodies, all Kshetras. He is the knower of all fields. Well, the individual soul is the knower of only one field, that too to some degree only, not completely. If you know everything what's happening in our body, why will we go to doctor to figure out what happened to our body? So we are Kshetragnas of one body to some degree. Krishna is Kshetragna of all bodies to complete degree. So Kshetra, Kshetragna is over. Next, Jnanam. So Jnanam is knowledge of the soul and super soul. Jnayam means the soul and super soul are the objects of knowledge also. And what is the process of acquiring knowledge? Krishna says, Amanittam, Adambhittam, Ahimsa, Kshantirarjavam. If one cultivates all these qualities of humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, forgiveness, compassion, all these qualities, one can attain knowledge. So, Kshetra, Kshetragna is over. Jnanam, Jnayam is over. Next, Prakriti and Purusha are pending. Prakriti is this material nature. Purusha is the Supreme Lord. And the word Purusha is sometimes applied to describe a Jiva also, because the Jiva, although he is Prakriti, Jiva has Purusha mentality. The mentality of being an enjoyer, proprietor, master, controller. Whether the Jiva is in a Purusha body or male body or female body, that controllership mentality is there. That's why it is sometimes Jiva is also described as Purusha. So now there is a relation between Purusha and Prakriti, and there is union. Purushaha prakritisthohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sanghosya sada sadhyoni janmashu. This Purusha, this Jiva, the spirit soul, because of association with Prakriti, the material energy, goes from one material body to another material body, one species to another species. That is called transmigration of the soul amongst different material bodies. That is all karanam guna sanghosya, because of association with material modes of material nature. Okay. So how to stop this? By surrendering to Krishna. Okay. So vision of knowledge all Krishna describes. 14th chapter. In this 14th chapter, Krishna elaborately describes the three modes of material nature. Earlier he described Prakriti. Prakriti is material nature. And material nature has three modes. Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. That Krishna describes. And all the living entities appear in this material world by the influence of these material modes. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtayaha sambhavantiyaha tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradahpitaha. All the conditioned souls take birth in various species or material bodies in this material nature, Prakriti. And the bija, the seed, is coming from Krishna. Aham bija pradahpitaha. That Mahavishnu, Karanadaksa Vishnu, glances on this Prakriti and impregnates this Prakriti with the conditioned souls. And then the birth of these conditioned souls in various material bodies take place. Okay? And these conditioned souls who are born out of Prakriti by the glance of the Lord will be influenced by the three material modes. Sattvam rajastama iti gunaha prakriti sambhavaha nibadhananti mahabaho dehe dehinamavyayam. So these three material modes bind the conditioned soul. Some people are conditioned by mode of goodness. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangeyana badhanati jnana sangeyana chanagha. A person who is bound by mode of goodness is attached to knowledge and happiness. Right? And there are other qualities of sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. All that Krishna describes in this. And Krishna also describes when someone is influenced by certain mode, what is his destination after death? Okay, somebody is in mode of goodness. So a person dies in mode of goodness, he may attain higher planets. Somebody is in passion, he may be staying here only. Somebody may enter lower planets if he dies in mode of ignorance. So like that, all this Krishna describes. And how to transcend these modes, that is more important. Okay. Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunayan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpati. Avyabhicharena bhakti. If one does unalloyed, pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, unflinching devotional service unto Krishna, one can transcend the influence of material modes. Okay. And one can attain the level of Brahman. And Brahmanohi pratishtaham. And Krishna is the foundation or basis of that Brahman. Ultimately, surrendering to Krishna helps us transcend these material modes. And Krishna said before also, Daivi hiyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mam evaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. One can transcend maya and the material modes of maya by surrendering to Krishna. 15th chapter, Yoga of the Supreme Person. In this chapter, Krishna describes the distinction between the material and spiritual worlds. So, urdhvamulam adhashyakam ashvattham prahuravayam. This material world is, this material universe is compared to an upside down banyan tree. Okay? So, when will you see an upside down banyan tree? On the bank of a lake, where you find a tree, you can see the tree's reflection in the lake. So, in upside down manner. So, similarly, whatever variegatedness that we see in this material world is a reflection of the spiritual variegatedness in the spiritual world. Okay? So, that's a little description. And how to get out of this reflection, material world, and enter the reality of spiritual world? So, Krishna speaks. The surrender process. Nirmana moha jitasanga dosha adhyatmanitya vinivritta kamaha dvandvair vimuktaha sukhadukta samneir gacchanti amudhaha padamavyayam tat. So, one who cultivates all these qualities of nirmana, moha and all that, one can go to the spiritual realm. And what is the quality of that spiritual realm? Natat bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakha yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So, that spiritual world is not illuminated by sun, moon, fire or electricity purposes. Okay? So, that is self-illuminated, self-effulgent. Once one goes there, he need not come back to this material world. Then Krishna describes little more about the jiva tattva and the transmigration of jivas. Mama eva amsho jiva loka. Krishna says, mama eva amsho. All the jivas are my amshas. My parts and parcels. My fragmental parts. I am that supreme forest fire. They are little fire sparks. I am that great ocean. They are little drops of ocean. So they are all my fragmental parts. But because of association with matter, they are entangled in this material world. But although they are entangled in the material world, I don't give up their company. Even if the living entity commits such abominable activities and takes birth in lower species are worms in stool also, Krishna doesn't give them up. Krishna stays right within their hearts as super soul. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedanta krutveda videva chaham sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto. I stay within the hearts of all living entities, within their hearts. And I give them remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo. By studying all the Vedas, I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedanta. I am the knower of Vedanta. So Krishna says this. And he gives a quick summary of the Vedantas. Like that there are two categories of living entities. Ksharaksha, kshara evacha. And beyond these, fallible and infallible living entities is Paramatma. And the source of Paramatma is the Bhagavan. All that Krishna says. That is the Yoga of Supreme Person, Purushottama Yoga. 16th chapter. Maybe in 5 minutes I'll summarize. Sorry for the extra time. 16th chapter, Krishna describes divine and demoniac natures. First he describes Daivi Sampada or divine qualities. So the qualities of people who have divine nature. Abhayam sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthitaha danam damascha ignascha svadhyayaha tapa arjayam. Arjavam, people who have simplicity, who are into Vedic study, who are fearless, who are into mode of goodness, who have purity of heart, they are all divine qualities. And there are demoniac qualities also. Dambho darpo abhimanascha krodha parushyamevacha ajnanam cha bhijatasya partha sampadama asurim. Asurim. Demoniac people have these kinds of qualities. Dambha, darpa, abhimana. Lot of ego, pride, lot of controlling tendency, so much of anger, parushyam, harsh speech. These are the qualities of demoniac people. They are demoniac qualities. And Krishna further elaborates on the activities, qualities and destination of such demoniac people. They may even enter hellish destinations. So one should give up these demoniac tendencies. And majorly Krishna says about three bad qualities which are gateways to hell. They are lust, anger and greed. Trividham narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmanah kamah krodhastatha lobha tasmat etatrayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam. There are three gateways to hell. What are they? Kama, lust, krodha, anger, and moha, and lobha, greed. So these three are gateways to hell. One should try and endeavor to give them up. And one should align oneself, one's thoughts and activities towards the instructions of the scriptures. If one gives up scriptures, if one gives up scriptural teachings and behaves independently and whimsically, one cannot attain perfection. That's how Krishna concludes this chapter. Yaha shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kamakarataha nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukham naparam gatim. Yaha shastra vidhim utsrujya, giving up all the scriptural injunctions, vartate kamakarataha, if you behave whimsically, nasasiddhim avapnoti, one cannot get any perfection. Nasukham, no happiness, naparam gatim, one will all get a good destination. Then, in the 17th chapter, beginning, Arjuna had a question. What if a person does some unauthorized worship which is not prescribed in the scriptures? So, scriptural faith we understand. What if someone has a non-scriptural faith? Right? So now, Krishna says actually that faith is determined by three modes of material nature. And Krishna elaborately describes what mode one is in. Is determined according to what habits one has. He describes foods in three modes, sacrifices in three modes, austerity in three modes, and three types of austerity. Austerity of body, mind and words. This is one popular shloka. Austerity of speech. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam chayiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. What is austerity of speech? One should speak in such a way that it doesn't agitate other people. One should be truthful. But the truth has to be presented in a non-agitating manner. So, satyam priyahitam, in a well-wishing manner. And svadhyaya, scriptural study is also a part of austerity of speech. So, like that Krishna describes types of austerity, and austerity in three modes, charity in three modes. For example, somebody gives charity to a person to, say, drink alcohol. What kind of charity is that? So, depending on one's habits and one's activities, one's mode has to be ascertained. Accordingly, one's faith is ascertained. So, and we'll come to the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, where Krishna kind of summarizes and reiterates his initial teachings. What he has been speaking in the initial chapters, Karma Yoga. So Krishna says, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo viduhum sarva karma falatyagam prahustyagam vichakshanaham. So, kamyanam karmananyasam, giving up one's kamya karmas. So, there are certain karmas that we are supposed to do. Naimittika karmas, nitya karmas, nitya karmas. So, kamya karma means those activities that you choose to do voluntarily for your enjoyment. So, giving up such activities based on one's individual choice is sannyasa. And sarva karma falatyagam prahutyagam vichakshanah. What is tyaga or renunciation? That is giving up the results of one's activities. In the first case, activity is not there. In the second case, activity is there. In the first case, renunciation is there. In the second case, spirit of renunciation is there. In one sense, both are same. So Krishna later interchangeably uses this sannyasa and tyaga. So basically what we discussed in the initial chapters only, one has to do one's prescribed duties with a spirit of detachment. Okay? Then although one is working, one will not be incurring sinful reactions to one's work. Okay? And one should never give up yajna dana tapah karma natyajyam karyam eva tat. One should not give up one's work. And Krishna describes other things in three material modes. Determination in three modes, intelligence in three modes, places in three modes, all that Krishna describes. Then Krishna also describes the purification that one attains by varnashrama dharma. Okay. So and these varnas are divided according to their guna and karma, not according to their janma. We discussed in the fourth chapter already. And finally Krishna comes to the final teachings of bhakti. Krishna concludes with bhakti. After summarizing a little bit of what he spoke in the initial chapters, Krishna concludes Bhagavad Gita with bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. One can understand Krishna only by bhakti. Okay. And Krishna stays right within the hearts of everybody. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. So Krishna is only in his capacity as super soul, staying within the hearts of all living entities, is directing the wanderings of living beings. Okay. Finally, Krishna repeats that essential teaching. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskurum mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. We discussed this shloka when we concluded the ninth chapter. Slight difference is there, more or less same. Manmana, think of me. Bhava madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances unto me. This is what Krishna says. So, then finally, Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha. Sarva dharman parityajya, give up all the kinds of substandard religious principles or so-called dharmas or duties that you think as important, and mam ekam sharanam vraja, think of me, take my shelter and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha, don't worry. And basically Krishna says, please surrender unto me. Take shelter of bhakti yoga and I will remove all obstacles in your surrendering process. Right? So devotee who surrender to Krishna has no papa. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. I will relieve you from all difficulties that you might face in your bhakti yoga. Please take my shelter only. So earlier Krishna discussed, Krishna told Arjuna, you work with a detachment. Later Krishna says, you work with devotion. You work, you do your prescribed duty as a part of, not your prescribed duty, as a part of your devotion unto me, to please me. I will deliver you from everything. So because there is a lot of elaborate description before we arrive at this conclusion, but this is a summary class. Okay. Anyways, Arjuna says, finally, nashto mohaha subhitir labdha yattat prasadat mayachyuta. Sthitosmi gatasandeha karishye vachanam tava. In the initial chapters of Bhagavad Gita, first, second chapter Krishna said, Arjuna said, dharma sammodha chetaha. I am unable to ascertain what is my duty. I am confused about my dharma. Now Krishna says, Arjuna says, nashto mohaha. All that illusion is gone. Smritir labdha. I regained my memory. Tvat prasadan by your mercy, O Achyuta, Krishna. Sthitosmi gatasandeha. Freed from all doubts and confusions and bewilderments, I am situated here to just perform your activity. Karishye vachanam tava. So ultimately, to align our will with Krishna's will is the ultimate teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Right? So karishye vachanam tava means I will act according to what you say. And Krishna did not demand this. Before that, in one shloka, Krishna said, yathechase tathakuru. I spoke to you whatever I am supposed to speak, and now you decide what you are supposed to do. And Arjuna says, I will do whatever pleases you. That is bhakti. Okay? So it seems like he's doing prescribed activity of fighting war. But he's not doing it just because it is his duty as Kshatriya. He's doing it because it pleases Krishna. And ultimately, pleasing Krishna, satisfying Krishna is the job profile of every single living entity. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnaira Nitya Das Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. So, constitutionally, every living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna, and Hari Toshanam, satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Krishna, is the first priority, ultimate priority of every single soul. And Arjuna came to this conclusion at the end of Bhagavad Gita, and Sanjaya closes the discussion with this last sloka. Yatra Yogeshwarah Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdharah Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir Dhva Nitir Matir Mama. So wherever Krishna is there, wherever Arjuna is there, all success, all victory, all glory exists there only. And it's our great fortune that we have discussed a quick summary of entire Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters in the last couple of hours on this Mokshada Ekadashi day, on this Gita Jayanti day. So let's try to make an honest endeavor to imbibe and implement some of these teachings that Krishna is giving us for our welfare. So with this prayer, I'll conclude. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.